your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 1, verse 29 tonight. We've been singing about the blood, folks.
Yes.
Man didn't have any idea what I was going to be preaching on. He had no idea. Holy Ghost did, though.
Yes.
John 1, 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes.
Father, bless this holy word as we stand tonight and proclaim it. Lord, it's your word. It's not mine. It's your word. And I pray you'd bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Beginning all the way in the book of Genesis, the Bible says God brought a coat of skins for Adam and Eve when they'd sinned. The blood was shed, and it was the blood of a lamb. All the way through the last book of the Bible, the Apocalypse, when 28 times the Lamb of God is mentioned, more than any other book in the Bible. So the Bible obviously wants you to understand that as it completes, as the canon of Scripture is closed, and it is closed, folks. Don't ever let anybody flim-flam you and tell you that Matthew and Mark was written in 100 and something A.D. and that there are the other books of the New Testament, which are the Gnostic Gospels or pseudepigraphic writings or so forth. No, we have 66 books of Holy Writ. And that last book of the Bible finishes with the Lamb of God. As I preached to you this morning, he manifests himself in glory to the church of God. Then we see him as the Lamb of God as he opens the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. And then we finish with him on the throne with God Almighty himself, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The thing that differentiates the Lamb of God from animals is this simple fact. And that is that the animal had no idea why it was dying, when it was dying, where it was dying. But the Lamb of God chose those things. He knew exactly what was happening, why it was happening. And the Bible said before the foundation of the world, as I preached to you this past Wednesday night, it was foreordained from the foundation of the world. In other words, before Adam ever sinned, the Lord Jesus Christ was established as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God reacts to nothing. Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning. So the Lamb of God is quite a remarkable doctrine all the way through the Bible. And you cannot separate the Lamb of God from the blood of God. They go together. The blood of God. It's a doctrine all the way through Scripture. Abel's lamb made no choice whatsoever. Samuel's lamb. He took a sucking lamb when he was confronted with a huge army, an enemy. And the Bible said he offered it up as a sacrifice unto God. Just a little lamb. What? No, how in the world could something like that stop the power of an enemy? I'm going to tell you why. Because it represented the Lord Jesus Christ, who's made a show of them openly. Then Abraham's lamb. That lamb was a ram caught as it came up the other side of the mountain. And there, my dear friend, he had no choice. And then finally the Passover lamb. When the death angel came through Egypt at night. And that midnight hour when the death angel came, you could hear people screaming all over the land of Egypt because their firstborn was dying, even all the way to the castle of Pharaoh. And his firstborn died. They died because there was no blood covering their household, no blood covering the lamb. The Bible tells us plainly that the firstborn must be redeemed by the blood of a lamb. And if no blood is shed, then that firstborn belongs to the Lord. Amen. So what that means is that he's lent it to us. He's loaned us certain things to Scripture. The Bible said in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 6, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself completely, fully, mind, body, soul, and spirit unto the Father. You need to think about that tonight. He withheld nothing. Every single thing that could possibly be given of our Lord Jesus Christ, he gave. The Bible said God should see the travail of his soul and should be satisfied. You do a little research on that travail, you'll find out that every single human feeling that you could possibly feel, he endured. There on the cross, there at Gethsemane, before he went to the tree. Why? Because he can relate to every single situation or person that's ever drawn a breath of life in this world. Amen. Bible said he could taste death for everyone. Everyone. Don't let some Calvinist tell you that he only died for the elect. He died for all men, would have all men to be saved. Savior of all men. Care who you are, if you're locked up in prison or you're sitting in a castle, if you're a millionaire or you're begging on the streets, it makes no difference. He died for you. Thank God for that. Thank God. God is no respecter of persons when it comes to salvation. So he gave himself. The Bible said in John chapter number 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In plainer words, he came to serve the Father. He came to serve the Lord. He offered himself in a living sacrifice unto God every way he possibly could. His thoughts were God's thought. His work was God's work. His word was God's word. Everything he did. The Bible said in Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear. As the learn. Do you still want to learn? Are you still a student? Is your mind still fertile? Are you still interested in learning? Or have you closed it all out and you know everything tonight? Oh, you should still be a student until you draw your last breath. You should learn as long as you live. Amen. I'm learning. Learning more by the day. The more I learn, the more I want to learn. And I want to know more about God. Amen. I want to know more about the Bible. Know more about the Holy Spirit. I want to learn. I'm a student of the Scripture. The Bible said in John chapter number 6 and verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. There's no question. There's no question. He wasn't tossed and fro. He knew who he was and he knew why he came. He came to please the Father. He's that servant of the Lord that we read about in Isaiah. When he talks about my servant, my chosen, mine elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Amen. He is the way to the Father. He has access to the Father. He knows the Father. He knows where the Father is. He understands the Father. He came from the Father. If you ever want to know the Father, you'll go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. No man can come to the Father except the Son. The Son, the Lord Jesus, shall lead him, draw him unto the Father. And there, my friend, because of this life, because of this sinless, perfect life that he lived, he's able to have access to God the Father, and therefore God makes peace through Christ, and Christ gives his peace to us. My peace, amen. Peace, peace, peace. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I call your attention to one phrase that says, he shall see his seed. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, he knew who he was dying for. Amen. I'm one of his sons. Amen. Yes, sir, he died for me and he died for you. But I know he died for me and I know whom I believe in. I know him tonight. I know him by name. I know him by spirit. I know all about him. I want to know more about him. And the more I know about him, the more I want to know about him. Amen. So the Bible says that he tasted my death. In the book of Luke chapter 22 verse 44, the scripture says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. My, how that ground must have been anointed there at Gethsemane. The olive press. In plain words, to press out the olive, the life-giving flow of the olive oil, which is a type of life. There his life was literally being squeezed from his soul. Bible said in Hebrews 9 verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, that's as important, once in the end of the world,
hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You do not need to offer a continual sacrifice. You don't need to offer a sacrifice, period. The sacrifice has been made. The Lord Jesus is the sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice. To me, it is a waste of your time. I don't care how sincere you are with it. Week after week after week to be offering a sacrifice. Christ is our sacrifice. Christ is our Passover. And so therefore, he offered himself one time without sin unto salvation. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. You know why he sat down? Because it's finished. It's paid for. It's done. It's all over. It's all over. God did exactly what he intended to do, and he did it through his son. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, holding all things with the word of his power, watch this now, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is personal purging. This is my sin. My sins. My sins are not your sins. I got enough of my own. My sins. But every one of my sins he bore at the cross. He purged my sins. And he paid for them. And when Satan reminds me of all that I did before I got saved, I remind him of who Christ is and where he's headed. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I love the word redeemed. Oh, how I love it. Yes, I do. What does it mean, preacher? It means that you had been sold, taken captive. You didn't belong to God anymore. The devil owned you, lock, stock, and barrel, and Christ paid the ransom to buy you back from the power of Satan. Now he owns us. Amen. I'm not mine. I've been bought with a price, the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18, for as much as we know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Watch. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And now we get into the book of Revelation. There are two books in the Bible that say more about blood, I suppose, than any of the rest of them. When we come to the New Testament, you know what they are? Revelation and Hebrews. Look what it says in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 9. They sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. This is right smack in the middle of the tribulation. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, eternal blood. It's an eternal sacrifice. It's not a temporary thing. It's not subject to corruption. He entered in by his blood in the presence of God. Now let me say something right here. I firmly believe that blood is not a metaphor for the life of Christ. That blood is real blood.
Amen.
He hath purchased the church with his own blood. And what do you mean by that? I mean blood is in heaven. Blood is in the presence of God. Blood is at the right hand of the Father. He entered with his blood into heaven. Why? Because it says in Revelation 1:5, he hath washed us from our sins in his own life. What's it say? Blood hath washed us from his sins. From our sins in his own psychology, philosophy, theology, twisting and turning. No, folks, blood. And the blood is what makes a man free.
Yeah.
Revelation 16, they cried with a loud voice, and saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge, avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? These are tribulation martyrs, tribulation saints who die for their faith in Christ. Is that the church, preacher? No, the church is gone. This is that great number that nobody could number, a multitude that comes from this earth. If you want to see the greatest revival earth has ever known, get into the tribulation period. You'll see a revival that this world has never known, because they'll be coming from every kindred, every nation, every tongue to be saved by the grace of God. So out of every dwell on the earth. Revelation 7:14, I said to him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They didn't overcome him by church membership, by good deeds, by sincerity, by organization you belong to, by church membership, by birth. No, they overcame him by the blood. You see, the only power that Satan understands, the only power that has defeated him, is the blood of Christ. Amen. Revelation 19, verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. When you run that scripture down and do a little research into what he's talking about, the second advent of Christ is when he comes down to this earth, and it says in the book of Isaiah that the blood will flow as high as a horse's bridle. The blood's going to flow, folks, at Armageddon. It's going to flow when Satan and the hordes that he has gathered together here on this earth to fight in that great battle of the great day of God Almighty. It's amazing to me, folks. It really does amaze me how that a creature thinks that he can defeat the Creator. My, there is a difference between Almighty God and his place and us as there is between me and a worm. More than that. More than that. He is infinitely above us. Infinitely above us. Untouchable, unknowable, and uncorruptible. So the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He took Satan's own weapon and destroyed him with it. He took his own sword and turned it against him. He took his own power and turned it against him. And in his weakness, he destroyed the power of Satan. Christ, in his weakest state, destroyed Satan when he used his greatest or strongest state. He defeated him. Hebrews 9:7, but into the second went the high priest alone every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The difference between this priest and my high priest is that when he entered into the presence of God, he did not carry blood for himself. He didn't need any sins purged. He didn't need any sins washed away. He entered in by his own righteousness and his own perfection into the presence of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, preacher, I go to a feel-good church, and we don't say anything about the blood. You need to get out of that feel-good church and go where they preach the book. Amen. And a lot of folks that are watching this don't live in Knoxville. And it's a sad thing, too, that I talk to so many of them. It's so sad. They say, preacher, you tell us to go to a church and find us a good church, but we don't have any. Not where we live. They just don't exist anymore. Isn't that sad? Therefore, it's good that we have the streaming ministry. It's good that we're able to reach them the way we can. That's the next best thing to being in the house of God. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:18, though, this is important. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. That first testament is the law of Moses. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no, without the shedding of blood, is no remission. What does the blood do? It seals. It seals. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. What did he seal you with? He sealed you with the blood of Christ, because Satan can't cross that blood. Hebrews 9:25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 10:4 says, for it is not impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And Hebrews 10:29, of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye shall be thought who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That's a warning. And then Hebrews 11:28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Hebrews 12:4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And then the last two, Hebrews 13, verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Right. And then finally, and this is one of the scriptures that I memorized, I haven't been saved long. First time I read it, I started to memorize it. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. The God of peace. Amen. I'm give out. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the folks who've come tonight. Somebody needs to hear what I preached. I pray you'd help them. God be with them and move their heart. I know when you spoke to me, you spoke into darkness. Hallelujah to God. I'll never forget that. You touched my soul like nothing had ever touched it before. I pray for them in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed tonight. Nobody